You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on It Takes What It Takes. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on It Takes What It Takes. How to Think Neutrally and Gain Control of Your Life by Trevor Moad. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. That's why I wrote this book. You don't need to be an elite athlete to train your mind like one. You simply need to have challenges that must be overcome. And guess what? You're human, so you absolutely face challenges every day at work and in your personal life. Maybe you were passed over for a promotion. Maybe you're trying to go to school to better yourself while working and aren't sure how to squeeze everything into the 24 hours in a day. Maybe you have a bad boss and don't know how to manage your interactions. Maybe you've just had a child and you're struggling to adapt to all the extra work at home. Maybe your spouse just told you it's over. Once you've finished this book, you'll be equipped with the same tools I'd give a team seeking a title. You'll learn that champions don't think negatively or positively. They think neutrally. You'll learn that champions behave as if they have no choice. You'll learn that champions make detailed plans. You'll learn that champions visualize what they want. You'll learn that champions lead themselves before they lead others. You can do this. By cracking this book open, you've already shown you want to grow and change. So let's do it. It takes discipline. It takes sacrifice. It takes time. It takes what it takes. That is Trevor Moad from It Takes What It Takes. Now, I got this book after a bunch of optimizers recommended I check it out. Thank you. And please keep the great recs coming. I have stacks of books I'm working on thanks to you. Now, as you know, if you've been following along, I'm a big fan of mental toughness books, whether that's coming from peak performers in the sports world or other leadership roles. Parenthetical aside, see notes on, all of these are linked in this note, How Champions Think, The Champion's Mind, Winning the Inner Game of Tennis, Win Forever, Go Long, Chasing Excellence, Coaching the Mental Game, 10-Minute Toughness, The Hoops Whisperer, Raise Your Game, The Art of the Fight, Win or Learn, Unbeatable Mind, Can't Hurt Me, Discipline Equals Freedom, etc., etc., etc. I love this topic. If you haven't checked out those notes, I think you'll enjoy all of them. Trevor Moad is a mental conditioning coach to elite performers. He is well known for being the mental coach to Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. And he's worked closely with prestigious NCAA football programs and coaches, the U.S. Special Operations Community, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. The book is, as per the subtitle, all about how to think neutrally and gain control of your life. I loved it, and if you're also equally fired up by the mental toughness in sports and life genre, I think you'll enjoy it as much as I did. Of course, it's packed with big ideas, and I'm excited to share a few of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, it takes neutral thinking. Quote, down 19-7, Russell Wilson hadn't gone into the tank. You could tell when the Seahawks next got the ball back. We can still win this game, Russell yelled. Let's go. 4 minutes and 50 seconds. Why hadn't Russell given up? Why did he treat the next play as if the previous ones didn't matter? Because he stayed neutral. Neutral thinking is a high-performance strategy that emphasizes judgment-free thinking, especially in crises and pressure situations. It is the cornerstone of what I teach the athletes and teams that employ me. The thing about neutral thinking that resonates with so many elite athletes, most of whom are deeply skeptical of any self-help, is that it's real. It's true. It acknowledges that the past is irrevocable, that it can't be changed with mantras or platitudes. Neutral thinking shuns all attempts at illusion or outright self-delusion, which are often the foundation of other motivational systems. Neutral thinking strips away all the bull and the biases, both external and internal. End quote. Welcome to chapter number one, called It Takes Neutral Thinking. Quick context, Russell Wilson is the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Until recently, he was the highest paid NFL player in history. He's also one of Trevor's clients, and the two of them created a business together called Limitless Minds. I've got a link to that in the note. He wrote the foreword to the book, Russell Wilson did, and is a case study Trevor comes back to throughout the book. In this scene, Trevor tells us about a playoff game in which, I quote, Russell played one of the worst 55 minutes of his young football career. He had thrown 4 interceptions, and they were losing badly. He kept his thinking neutral, though, embracing the reality of the situation while focusing on what needed to get done. Now, it's obvious to see that he wasn't negative and drowning in his failures. What's less obvious to see is that he wasn't thinking positively per se either. The reality is that there wasn't a lot to be positive about, and if he pretended that all was awesome, he would have sounded inauthentic and would have been less effective. He simply looked at the clock, did the math, and got to work on the next most important task. That's neutral thinking. Try it. It works. P.S. As I was reading the book, I took a break and explained this idea to Emerson. Here's the example I used. Our chickens and their poop. Quick context, we just moved to the country. We got some chickens because we thought they'd be awesome, and they are. The kids love them, etc. And those guys sure know how to poop, and they especially love to do it under our beautiful patio where I often meditate as the sun's rising. Let's just say that the meditation scene is less idyllic these days with the chicken poop wafting up. Now, the negative thinking goes something like this. Those chickens are a pain, and trying to corral their poop is also a pain. I think we might want to find them a new home. Might have said that, or something close to it. The positive thinking would go something like this. It's not so bad, and the chickens are so great. Now, neither of those is as effective as neutral thinking. The chickens are pooping under the patio and stinking up our place. The kids love them, but we need a better solution. So, let's limit their access to that location and figure out a poop control protocol. Next step, order some chicken wire for the bottom of the patio and install it. Boom, done. Emerson got the idea immediately, and he still has his chickens. Little PPS here. The morning after that chat, we were doing our family workout. I run around the half-mile trail we created around our property, and the kids ride their bikes as I chase them. Now, Emerson's bike had a flat tire, and he immediately started crying. I cruised over and said, "Buddy, your tire's flat. That's a bummer. I get it. Now, remember neutral thinking? What do you want?" He said, "To ride my bike." I said, "Exactly. So what can we do to make that happen?" He said, "Get the bike pump and fill up the tire." I said, "Exactly. Boom. Done." That's neutral thinking. Try it. It works. Now back to Trevor. He tells us, I quote again, "That's neutral. Staying in the moment, giving each moment its own history, and reacting to events as they unfold. It takes away emotion and replaces it with behaviors. Instead of asking, 'How do I feel?' you should be asking yourself, 'What do I do?' You can develop these skills if you're willing to let go of a few things. Negative, cynical thinking doesn't make you more realistic. It just makes you negative and cynical. Biased thinking doesn't help you either. You need to steer clear of your feelings and make an honest assessment of each situation you face. Don't worry about what you feel. Rely on what you know." End quote. Neutral thinking. It's fantastic. We got a ton of plus ones on this as well. I extended the thinking into something I now call targeted thinking. Check it out. Next big idea. GOATS and G-O-A-T-S's. GOATS and the acronym G-O-A-T-S. GOATS. Quote, "3 years later, Russell and I would go over this play and its aftermath with former Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph for our ESPN show QB to QB. Right here, in this moment, you realize that if you're going to go for something, you're going to have some heartbreak," Russell told Rudolph as the interception played out on a nearby wall. "But if you're not willing to go there, you're never going to get there." In other words, you have to be willing to be the GOAT, the old negative meaning of the word my generation grew up with, if you ever want a chance to be the G-O-A-T, GOAT, what younger generations call the greatest of all time, end quote. Welcome to chapter number 2, It Takes a Plan. This time we get a backstage pass to what was going on in Russell Wilson's mind before and after one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. It's so big, it has its own name, the play. For those who may not know, Russell won a Super Bowl in his second year. Then he led his Seahawks back to the Super Bowl the next year. That Super Bowl had the largest television audience in American history watching it. The viewership peaked at 120.8 million people, which is one out of every three Americans in the country. And you know what they saw? Well, 120 million people watched Russell lead an epic comeback against the Patriots and then throw an interception at the goal line with time expiring, sad face. You know what Russell did? He pulled himself together, conducted himself with poise in the post-game interview, then, goosebumps, got to work to get better. Hitting his offseason with the ferocity to alchemize that into something positive. How did he do that? Well, the neutral thinking certainly helped. So did the fact that he knows that you can't have a shot at greatness without risking failure. As Trevor puts it a few pages later, I quote again, that was the mental part, owning it. He'd held the trophy the year before. He'd shoulder the other side of it now. Derek Jeter, Russell's favorite athlete, said what Russell was now living. To be able to hit the game-winning home run, you have to be willing to strike out in the same batter's box. That translates to football pretty easily. To have a chance to throw the touchdown pass that wins the Super Bowl, you have to be willing to throw the interception that loses the Super Bowl. Those two things live in the same moment. End quote. Now, you know who else that sounds like? Mr. Hero's Journey, Joseph Campbell. In Pathways to Bliss, he tells us, and I quote, the hero journey is one of the universal patterns through which that radiance shows brightly. What I think is that a good life is one hero journey after another. Over and over again, you are called to the realm of adventure. You are called to new horizons. Each time, there is the same problem. Do I dare? And then if you do dare, the dangers are there and the help also, and the fulfillment or the fiasco. There's always the possibility of a fiasco, but there's also the possibility of bliss. End quote. Remember, want to hit the game-winning home run? You need to be willing to strike out in that same batter's box. Let's step out of the warm-up circle and into the arena. Our destiny is calling. P.S. There are 12 chapters in the book. Each features an it takes... Here's what it takes. Chapter 1. It takes neutral thinking. Positive? Negative? No. Neutral is where it's at. 2. It takes a plan. What's yours? 3. It takes hard choices. Ultimately, if you're committed to greatness, there is no choice, Trevor tells us. C. The illusion of choice we're going to talk about in a moment. 4. It takes a verbal governor, a.k.a. quit saying stupid things out loud. 5. It takes a negativity diet. Your environment strongly influences your well-being. Eliminate as much negative stuff as you can. Goodbye, incessant news, country music songs, etc. He actually uses that as an example. It's pretty funny. 6. It takes an ad campaign in your brain. Now, you're always talking to yourself, so you might as well feed your brain a stream of positive branding ads, eh? Chapter number 7 is, it takes visualizing. So, what's your best future look like? 8, it takes self-awareness. What do you do that works? Do more of that. What needs work? Work on it. That's self-awareness 101. Number 9, it takes pressure. Pressure, ultimately, Trevor tells us via Billie Jean King, is a privilege. Why? Because feeling pressure means that what we're doing matters. 10, it takes leadership. And that starts with leading yourself first. 11, it takes role models. Who were your heroes? Trevor's dad was his. How about you? And chapter 12 is, it takes what it takes. You ready to do what needs to get done? Next big idea. The law of substitution, aka the law of focus. Quote, Russell understood a critical fundamental, the law of substitution. At any given moment, our minds can sustain only one thought at a time. One. The thousands of words flying through our brains or screams from outside crowds at riot levels can't overcome that truth. It's universal. My mind doesn't block things out. It simply goes to whatever thought I ask it to go to. My inner voice is loudest. If I don't use it strategically, however, then the words of others or the outside chaos can replace my message to myself. My own words influence me 10 times as much as anyone else's. Russell uses that power. We all can. End quote. The law of substitution. I love it. My only question is, should we call it the law of focus? Either way, the fact is our minds can only focus on one thing. So the key to blocking out the external noise isn't to try to block out the external noise. It's to turn the volume up on your own focused thinking such that your mind doesn't even notice the external distractions. How do we do that? Focus. On what? On what's important now. Unfortunately, most of us have destroyed our ability to truly, deeply, sustainably focus by allowing our minds to bounce from input to input to input all day, every day. We'd be wise to remember Ian Robertson's wisdom that a wandering mind is an unhappy mind. Next big idea, the illusion of choice. Quote, my dad was always trying to adjust his phrasing to make it resonate with the largest audience. And he knew when he'd found words that hit the target. This phrasing hit the mark. I could see it in the player's eyes. I could see it in the coach's eyes. They understood. I see that same recognition every time I present to a new group and explain the illusion of choice. Of all the things you teach, Trev, nothing hit me between the eyes like the illusion of choice, MGM Studios COO Chris Brierton told me. It's so clearly true. And yet we all compete against our own choices every day. Deep down, Trevor says, we all know our choices ultimately determine our behaviors, and those behaviors ultimately determine our outcomes. That doesn't make choosing correctly any easier in our own lives. End quote. Now, Trevor's dad was one of the pioneers in the self-esteem leadership movement. I smiled as I read stories about him and his dad, imagining what stories Emerson might share about his dad in the future. Now, I loved the idea of neutral thinking. But this idea might just be my favorite in the book. The illusion of choice. We think we have an array of choices available to us, but if we're serious about actualizing our potential, achieving greatness, winning our own version of the Super Bowl, then there simply is no choice. Moment to moment to moment, we need to step forward into growth and give our best. Period. Trevor tells us, I quote again, making bad choices is the lifeblood of average. It feeds it. It consumes it. It protects it. Choice is a competitor, as much as any tangible opponent you or any team will face. In fact, it's the ultimate competitor. It taunts you. It will lie to you. Take choice out of your way, and it's like pulling the fitness band off Usain Bolt. The Velcro snaps, and watch him disappear. Choice is an illusion. Choice is Kaiser freaking Soze. He says, this may sound crazy, especially in an age where many people are bombarded by options. The music we listen to, the shows we watch, the time we wake up, the food we eat, the people we associate with, the way we prepare, the effort we give, the effort we don't give. But do we have the luxury of choice if excellence is what we aspire to? That's pretty good. And right below that passage, I wrote Paradox of Choice, The Freak Factor, GSP, Sacrifices versus Decisions, and Chasing Excellence, all of which are linked to the appropriate PNs and a plus one. In our very last note on The Freak Factor, we hit on the exact same theme. We think choice is awesome, but ultimately it's not, especially when we decide to go for excellence. When you get up, when you go to sleep, how you train, how you show up in your work and your love, when we're all in, there is no choice. So let's drop the illusion and make the ultimate decision that makes all the little decisions for us. Let's go for greatness today. Next and final big idea, draw your line in the dirt. Quote, I've had the honor of working alongside U.S. Navy SEAL Marcus Luttrell over the years. He told his story in Lone Survivor, and it's a testament to staying neutral. In June 2005, Marcus and three other members of SEAL Team 10 were dispatched into the Hindu Kush Mountains in eastern Afghanistan with a mission to either kill or capture a Taliban leader. After a group of goat herders stumbled upon the SEALs and gave their location to Taliban soldiers, the Taliban attacked. Latrell's three teammates were killed, and he was left to try to survive an enemy onslaught in an unfamiliar area. Latrell was shot 11 times. He broke his back and his pelvis and blew out his knees. He broke his nose and bit off a piece of his tongue. He needed to travel 7 miles to reach the nearest village to have any chance of survival. But he didn't think about the total distance he had to cover. That would have overwhelmed him and made him quit. As he lay on the ground looking at the moon, he decided to crawl. He grabbed a rock and drew a line in the dirt. Then he crawled forward. When his feet passed the line, he drew another line. He did that for 7 miles. That is the ultimate in neutral thinking. Marcus didn't think positively. He didn't think negatively. He thought, I am capable of crawling to this line. The next time life presents you with a challenge, don't simply assume everything will work out. Don't tell yourself you can't do it. Just evaluate the situation, figure out what you can accomplish right now, then draw your line. When you cross that line, draw another one and keep going. Now that's from the final chapter, It Takes What It Takes, in which we sum it all up. As I read that, I thought of all the other SEAL books we featured, most recently Fearless. When I was online next, I ordered the book that Mark Latrell wrote. Note on that coming soon. I also thought of another neutral thinking gritty exemplar, Joe DeSena. In Spartan Up, he gives us some parallel wisdom via a similar metaphor. Quote, the way to get through anything mentally painful is to take it a little at a time. The mind can't handle dealing with a massive iceberg of pain in front of it, but it can deal with short nuggets that will come to an end. So instead of thinking, I've got 24 miles to go, focus on making it to the next telephone pole in the distance. Whether you're running 20 or 120 miles at a time, the distance has to be tackled mentally and physically 1 mile at a time. The ability to compartmentalize pain into these small bite sizes is key. End quote. So you want to gain control of your life? Know that it takes what it takes. Start thinking neutrally, let go of the illusion of choice, practice the law of substitution, and step into the arena of your most heroic life. Let's have the wisdom to know the game we're playing and how to play it well, and the self-mastery to play it well right now. Let's ask ourselves the question, now what needs to be done, and then go do it. In other words, let's draw a line in the dirt and get to it, then draw another one and keep going today. That is a quick look at this great book. It Takes What It Takes, How to Think Neutrally and Gain Control of Your Life. Trevor Moad, elite mental performance coach, he tells us, and I'm going to quote from the sidebar here, no matter where I work, the same truth keeps emerging. Neutral thinking is the key to unlocking a set of behaviors that can turn also-rans into champions and champions into legends. Trevor tells us it's what you do, not how you feel, that gets things done. We can do our way into feeling the way we need to. It's hard to feel our way into achieving anything. He tells us, during that 2015 conversation, I asked Vince Carter a question. Is choice an illusion? Of course, he said. There was no way he'd still be in the NBA in his late 30s if he'd done everything he wanted to do. He did what was demanded. So it takes what it takes, I asked. Exactly, he said. Trevor tells us, a few years into our time working together, I showed Fred Taylor a quote that really resonated with him. It was from Norman Vincent Peale. Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, but he could think neutrally with the best of them. Give every bit of yourself, hold nothing back. Life cannot deny itself to the person who gives life his all. Trevor tells us, no matter what situation you find yourself in, there is almost always a behavior you can easily identify that, if you eliminate it, will set you on a better path. We all have a set of behaviors that will make us successful. Whether or not we live them is the real question. I hope you're asking yourself right now. But think about the things you can stop doing right now, today. Think about putting a muzzle on negative expression for the next 24 hours. Negative thoughts can cross your mind, they will. But for one full day, forbid yourself from verbalizing them. Witness the difference that makes in your relationships, your mental state, your outcomes. You'll be amazed. Trevor tells us, attitude is contagious. The right attitudes can be particularly contagious. The best teams, organizations, units, and even countries are led by people who have this ability to influence, to inspire. These are people we can't help but want to emulate. And finally, Bob Moad, Trevor's father, tells us, the best day of your life is the one on which you decide your life is your own. No apologies or excuses. No one to lean on, rely on, or blame. The gift is yours. It is an amazing journey, and you alone are responsible for the quality of it. There you go. It takes what it takes. Let's go give life all we've got today.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.